Okay, so last night we began to discuss some details of Seamus Begitin. What I was getting towards was what we do in certain situations where there are irregular situations or cases where we can't write the name of a person's father the way we normally would. So the background to that, we discussed that the simple omission of the name of a husband or wife definitely creates at least a puzzle get, if not a get that's puzzle min ha-Torah. The rights of the Rabbanim is definitely no good. Omission of the name of a father does not possibly get. In certain situations, you may even omit the name of a father.
L'chadchila. How would it be? You said that it's a question to leave out the one or the other of you. Question mark. How would it only be the Rabbanim?
It would only be the Rabbanim, because the whole requirement to write the name of the husband itself might only be the Rabbanim. That's a takana. Part of it is takana.
The Tikkun Dur, and it says, doesn't mention any name.
Right. So it's conceivable that Min HaTorah, if I would write a document that says I divorce you, and it's clear from the people who are present, especially given that Adam is, well, independent of that, but that may be Kasher Min HaTorah.
Right, and the eager of the get, in other words,
in today's day and age, people are known pretty much by their first name, last name. I mean, if you look at the announcement for this year, it had your name,
right.
Rabbi first name, last name, not.
Right.
So does that have any nafkamina? In a sense, is that when it says, Rabbi, Joseph Goldberg, you know who that is? I mean, you actually know who that is more likely than,
Could be, but if you have someone like Sam Cohn, there are probably many Sam Cohns in the world.
Mm-hmm.
There were fewer Sam Ben Cohns.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of Jacob Goldbergs, but there are fewer Jacob Ben Isaac Goldbergs. So it definitely narrows down the people that we could be referring to. We do not include last names in a get. That's a fairly standard practice, although I did see that Rabbi Yirmiyahu Benowitz, who was Mesader Gittin in Baltimore, who took over for the older Mesader Gittin, Rabbi Rodenberg. So now Rabbi Benowitz is more or less the only Mesader Gittin in Baltimore. He has a very nice sefer on Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Gittin, the first, so far he came out only in volume 1, the first 10 or something simanim, 11 simanim. So he writes over there in the name of Repenkin, although I haven't been able to confirm from other people that Repenkin actually did this, and other people were somewhat skeptical as to when this was done, to what extent it was done. At least Rabbi Benowitz records in the name of Repenkin that we have a kpeda when you give a get ayde shliach, that we're more careful to include extra simanim in the get to make sure that there's no question that this is the right get from the specific husband to the specific wife, and we'll be more inclined to in certain situations you could go either way as to whether to include or omit an additional nickname that a person has. So when it comes to get, initially we're more inclined to include the nickname, even if other times, if it's a regular in-house get, maybe we would not include that nickname. So when you send the get, initially there has to be some kind of simon. So we're makbid, where possible, that in most situations, a person will have a nickname, or his father will have a nickname, so we'll include that in the get under normal circumstances anyway. But if you have a case where a person doesn't have a nickname, his father doesn't have a nickname, so there you don't have as many simanim to work with in the get. So Rabbi Benowitz quotes that Rav Henkin had the practice that if you give a get ayde shliach and there are no other nicknames for either party, then he would include the last name as another identifying feature for the Baal HaMegarish. I'm not aware of Mesader Gittin to do that, but that's what Rabbi Benowitz writes.
Why is it then that Moshe said this in regard to Ksuba, that some people write like Mishpachas, we're more machmer in regard to Ksuba than we are in regard to
Ksuba? I don't know if we call that a Chomer or Kula, but again, we include many other Kinyanim that Nachas Shiva, notwithstanding, we don't include in Ksuba.
Right, so why is
but a A nickname is not the official name that a person has, and we don't tinker with the way that when it comes to Gittin, we don't tinker with the way things were done in the context of now. By Gittin, we have many other ways to ensure that there's no other Yosef and Shimon, and we don't tinker with the way things
Each one can easily.
Right, I think so. If you were to write a nickname, a last name as a Mechuna, it wouldn't possibly get. But our practice is not to do that. So be that as it may, so given that, if you omit the name of a father, doesn't apostle the get, and we quoted yesterday, according to some Rishonim, it may even be kasher lechachila. So in Shulchan Aruch we paskin that in Siman Kuf Kaf Ches if Tes, that when it comes to a shisuki or a sufi, someone whose father is unidentifiable, shisuki is someone that the mother always hushed him or hushes anyone. If there's any attempt to identify the father, don't ask. And a sufi is someone who was picked up from the shuk in infancy, and no one knew the identity of the father, or potentially even the mother. So when it comes to
the father is a goy,
I'll get there in a second.
Okay.
So for sufi ve sufi, Shulchan Aruch paskins that we only write the name of the father. We don't. We only write the name of the baal hamigdash. You don't write the name of the father. The dog. Rav, the side of Shulchan Aruch says that in a situation in which you know the identity of the mother, you don't know the identity of the father, then maybe you can write the mother's name. And the precedent for that is the famous Mari Bar Rachel. Mari Bar Rachel is the character we encounter in the Gemara, and sometimes who was Harasa Shalom Bekdusha Veleidasa Bekdusha. He at the time that he was conceived, his father was not yet Jewish. His father subsequently converted. His father was known as Isser Giora, Isser the Ger, but his mother was fully Jewish from the beginning to the end. So this person was Harasa Shalom Bekdusha. He was conceived from a non-Jewish father, but Veleidasa Bekdusha was born to a Jewish mother, and his father converted in the interim. So he's known in the Gemara not as Mari Ben Isser, because Isser, who converted subsequent to his conception, had no halachic relationship to him. He was known as Mari Bar Rachel. He was known by his mother's name. So the Dogma Rebbe says, in a case like that, you could write the mother's name and not the father's name. So that's our practice. If someone is born to a Jewish mother and a non-Jewish father, and we can identify both of those with certainty, then we'll write his name, the son of his mother. So sometimes we'll have a mother's name and a get. That's because the father is not Jewish. There could be situations of suffix where either we know that there was a Jewish father, and we don't know the identity of the Jewish father, then we would just write the name of the Baal HaMegarish and not the name of the father at all. Or sometimes they have a case of a suffix. Let's say our practice by a ger, the practice is that you write Ben Avram Avinu. That's his official name, whatever name he accepted upon himself, whatever name he goes by, Ben Avram Avinu. Incidentally,
you use it as an all-inclusive for any Yid.
So a regular Jew has a Jewish father is not identified as Ben Avram Avinu. Ben Avram Avinu is a moniker that we give specifically to ger. The ger has always been Avram Avinu or Bas Avram Avinu. So the practice of Mitzvah Gittin, which you don't find in Shulchan Aruch, but you find in later Achronim, is that when you write a get for a ger, this is a significantly later practice. If you have a ger who is currently not Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, then the practice is to write, instead of Ben Avram Avinu, you write Hager. Ploni Hager instead of Ploni Ben Avram Avinu, because we don't want to associate the name of Avram Avinu with someone who's not Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. That's a later practice when it comes to writing a get for a ger. But a normal ger who's is Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, we identify as Ploni Ben Avram Avinu. Sometimes you could have a situation in which there's a suffix as to whether a person really is a ger. There's a suffix, someone had a gerus, but it was questionable whether he really needed the gerus. He was adopted, and there were indications that his natural parents, his natural mother was Jewish, but it couldn't be proven, and therefore, just to make sure that you cover all bases, you're Megayer this person, I'll accept that he wasn't Jewish. So there may be, let's say we know We know the identity, we know the name of the mother, we don't know whether the mother was Jewish or not, in that case. We know the name of the father, we don't know if the father was Jewish. So you could have situations of suffix where you don't write either the mother or the father's name because you want to cover your bases, and if this person is really a ger, so you should write Ben Avram Avinu, and his name is Yachis to the mother. If you write the mother, maybe that'll pass it. If he really is, is not a ger, so then you could write the name of the mother and the name of the father. So because of those suffix, in the case of the suffix, we would leave out both. What I wanted to discuss now, which we started moving towards yesterday, was what do you do lechachila b'di'eved in cases of adoption, where you have an adopted child who has a connection to his adoptive or foster father, let's say, and has no connection and maybe doesn't even know the identity of the natural born father. So what we started talking about last night was that when it comes to a mistake in the name of a father in a get, so our off-the-cuff reaction would have been that if you make a mistake in the name of the father, since the name of the father doesn't have to be there anyway, that's not going to pass. That's the opinion of Tosfos and Daf Pei when it comes to the omission of the Makom Haleda. The practice of many Rishonim, which we don't follow in Shulchan Aruch, the practice of many Rishonim was that as an additional identifying feature in a get, you would include the birthplace of the parties. As another way of ensuring that we don't confuse two Yosef and Shimon's. So Tosfos writes, that's not ma'akev. If you leave out the Mokam Oleda, that doesn't possible to get. And since it doesn't possible to get, if you leave it out, if you make a mistake, that's also kasher b'di'evet, if you misrepresent the Mokam Haleda. So we would have assumed that that should be true, and that's what we pass on Shulchan Aruch. If you omit the Mokam Oleda in a place that you would write the Mokam Oleda or something similar. So we would have assumed that the same should be true for omission of the name of the father, since the name of the father is immaculate anyway. However, the Rush writes that there's a difference. When it comes to the name of the father, someone's birthplace is not a well-known fact. Look around the room here, you probably couldn't, even people that you know as your neighbors, you wouldn't necessarily know where they were born. So that's not a well-known fact. But the name of someone's father is more well-known. They get called up to the Torah by the name of their father. So if you were to make a mistake with the name of the father and say Yosef ben Reuven instead of Yosef ben Shimon, that everyone knows this person is Yosef ben Shimon, not Yosef ben Reuven. And people could come to a reasonable assumption that it's actually someone else who was Megarish's wife, not the real Yosef ben Shimon that we're talking about. So because that's a reasonable impression that people may have, a mistake in the name of a father is more chamur than a mistake in the name of the Makom Haleda. That's the Psak of the Rush, and that seems to be the Psak in Shulchan Aruch, that if you make a mistake in the name of the father, that's going to passel the get. There is an opinion of the Bala Itter, not the way, but the Bala Itter is not reflected in Shulchan Aruch. There's a tshuva of the Aruch HaShulchan, which is printed in the Tshuvas Minchas Aron. Rav Aaron Gordon was a posek in New York in the beginning of the 20th century, great-grandfather of Rabbi Yaakov Rublevsky, who is not here now. So Rav Gordon was European, who came to America. He was a Rav in Rochester, then a Rav in New York, and he was Masada Gittin. He wrote a number of svarim, important svarim on Hilchas Gittin and Hashemus Begittin, the Minchas Aron, the Avnei Choshen, Evan Meir. So he wrote a few svarim on Gittin, important works, and he also wrote a fascinating tshuva on why the Erev in use in the Lower East Side in 1906 was no good. Good read if you're interested. So in the very beginning of one of his svarim, he has a correspondence with the Aruch HaShulchan. Apparently what happened when he was Masader Get in New York was that he was under the impression, or someone presented, that the name of their father, and it turned out at the end that it was an adoptive father, not the natural born father. So they ended up writing a get using the name of an adopted father instead of the natural born father. And it was impossible to procure another get in that situation. It was a shlichus, and they just couldn't get to the husband again. So he asked the Aruch HaShulchan whether that get is kasher b'dieved. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes back, and if you don't have access to this sefer, recently someone printed a collection of all the tshuvas of the Aruch HaShulchan that were printed in places you wouldn't expect to find them. It's a collection of Kol Kisvei Aruch HaShulchan, so it's reprinted in the Kol Kisvei Aruch HaShulchan. I forget what the name of the work is. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes back that he thinks there are many grounds to be mekel, to be mitzvah of a number of factors. Number one, you have the sheets of the Baal Hitzer anyway, that even if you make a mistake in the name of the father, that doesn't possibly get. Number two, there is precedent in Jewish literature that a person could be identified by the name of an adoptive father. So he quotes the Targum Unchlus and the Ramban of the Torah in Nefzi's Parsha, Parsha's Pinchas. Parsha's Pinchas and Breishis. The Pasuk, the Ramban's of Pinchas, V'shem Bas Asher Sarach. So the Targum renders V'shem Bas Asher as the name of Asher's wife's daughter. That Sarah was not Asher's natural born daughter, but he was the stepfather, and he was the daughter of Asher's wife. So you see that the Torah is Mesiaches, an adopted child to the adoptive father. So that's precedent for using the name of an adoptive father as an identifying feature of that person. You also have that the Gemara in Tamura indicates that Othniel ben Kenaz was not actually Kenaz's son, but Kenaz was an adoptive father. So that's another marmakom, a precedent for identifying someone as the son of an adoptive father, even though it's not his natural born father. And he also points out that the reason we're so machmir when it comes to a mistake in the name of a father is, as the Rush explained, because a person will make a reasonable assumption that it's the wrong, not the right Baal, because people always identify by their father's names. But in a situation in which someone has an adoptive father, everyone connects that person to the adoptive father, it could be people don't even know that it's not the biological son, then you don't have that concern of the Rush, because everyone knows that this is the same person, because he is identified by that adoptive father. And then, as particular to this specific case, where it was the father of the wife that was misrepresented in the get, so there he has a line, Isha Bazar Minayan, that how would the woman came back and said, the name that I gave you, my father is really my adoptive father, not my natural born father. How does she know what the name of the adoptive father really is? Was she ever in shul to hear the father get called up for an aliyah? Isha Bazar Minayan. So maybe don't even have to believe her. That was sniff number six in a series of sniff and lahakil in this case. Bottom line, the Aruch HaShulchan assumes that you, not to do the Sulcha Achila, but b'dieved, if you already wrote a get and you can't write another get and you use the name of the adoptive father instead of the natural born father, there are enough reasons to be misarif to be machshir the get, at least b'dieved, after it was given, without concern about this nakuda. There's a tshuva tzchas and sofer which is quoted also. The Tzitz Eliezer is a tshuva in which he quotes the Aruch HaShulchan and agrees with the Aruch HaShulchan and the halacha. And then he also quotes in the same context the tshuva of Chasen Sofer. Chasen Sofer is not talking about Gittin, but he's talking about a case, a big controversy in town that happened when someone who was presumed to be his father's son ended up marrying his father's sister. So that's an erva. We don't do that. So there's a whole taram in town, and it was nisbarer that the son was not really the son of this father. He was adopted, and he had no blood relationship to this family. Therefore, he was mutter be achas aviv. So Chasen Sofer, responding to this issue, writes that so people said, well, he got called up to the Torah by the name of his adoptive father all these years, do we believe him? So the Chasid Sofer writes, that's not a big deal. Sometimes people are identified by the name of their adoptive father, and Kol Megadol Yosim is a Beiso Kilo Yilado, a person raises someone in his house, so he has the right to consider himself as a father in certain respects. So if someone's so identified, it's not the biggest deal. So lichachila, the practice is that if you can identify the natural-born father of the Baal HaMegarish, even though he has no shaykhus of the natural-born father, but you write the name of the natural-born father. If you can't identify the natural-born father, then the lechachila general practice would be to just omit the name of any father and write his name as such. Some had slightly different practices. The Minchas Yitzchak, Nine Lives of the Tshuva, in the context of a tshuva, in which the Shaila was whether in a tshuva you could write the name of the adoptive father, not the name of the natural born, instead of the name of the natural born father, where there are certain sensitivities. So the Minchas Yitzchak writes that in a case of Makam Sakana, you could write the name of the adoptive father. What's a Makam Sakana? So apparently the Makam Sakana was that this daughter who was going to the Chuppah didn't know that she was adopted. So they were worried that if they would write the name of the natural born father in the Tzubah, that she would faint under the Chuppah, because she was under the impression that she was a natural born daughter of the adoptive father. So whether that was a good idea or not, from a social work perspective, but from given those hanachos, a dying wife writes that b'makom sakana, it's okay for a ksuba, you write the name of the adoptive father. In our Beis, Rav Moshe has a tshuva in which he entertains the possibility of writing something along the lines of Ploni ben Ploni Hamigadlo, to write the name of the adoptive father, but to modify it with the term Hamigadlo, the one who raised him. So then it's clear that it's not that's not the natural born father. In our Beis Din, our current Av Beis Din, Gedaliah Dov Shvorz Shlita, so he told me that the previous Av Beis Din, the brother of the Zichron Lebracha, Rav Steinberg, so he had the practice that if the name of the natural born father was not known, so he would, as a matter of course, write Ploni Ben Ploni Hamigadlo. You write the name of the adoptive father with the modification of Hamigadlo. It's questionable why it should be Hamigadlo and not Shegidlani, because the get is in first person. It's from the letter from husband to wife, so it's all in first person. Hamigadlo is third person. Ramosha's language, I think, was slightly different. Ramosha's language.
The same basic idea,
correct. Ramosha's suggestion. I have to quote it properly. Yes, Ramosha didn't prescribe, but Ramosha, Chelek Dalet, Evan Ezra Siman Kavav, said if it was done, that would be kosher. But the brother of thought that you could do that lechachila in a situation where you didn't know the identity of the natural born father, to write Ploni ben Ploni Hamigadlo.
But if you wouldn't know the identity of the biological father, you can write that?
If you know the identity of the biological father, you write the name of the biological father. If you don't know the identity of the biological father, so the practice of most Batei Din is just leave out the father's name entirely.
Listen, we do know the biological father, but he gave up his son for adoption when he was an infant.
That doesn't
and this
make
guy
him, that,
raised him, you know.
That doesn't make him not the father. Luckily, he's still the father. We had a case a few years ago in which we had a Baal HaMegarish, and he was emphatic that he knew the name of his natural born father, but he was very bitter about the fact that he was abandoned by his natural born father. So he said, if you write the name of my natural born father in the get, then I'm not going to give a get. So in that case, we wrote this nusach of Ben Ploni Hamigadlo. It was definitely kosher. But usually, if you explain to someone that we understand that you have no emotional connection to the natural born father, but it's just a matter of halachic protocol, and no one's going to see the get, and no one's going to see the p'tur. It's an internal document. So usually that convinces people, but there are sensitivities, and people do have resentments in certain situations that they wouldn't want to be associated with the name of the natural born father. Except for that one case, under most circumstances, people are understanding that there's a certain halakhic protocol, and we have to follow the protocol, and they're interested in a kosher get. So they'll be mohel on their pedas about including the name of the natural born father. So there are ways of tweaking it, using a language of that sort of hamigadlo, where necessary. But again, the general practice of Batei Din is that if the identity of the father is not known, either in this adoptive case or in your regular Sufi Shtuki case, then you just leave out the name of the father entirely and write the name of the Baal HaMegarish without any ben.
They realize, oh, it's not hard as doing it. Or it's hard as doing it.
The Pesach Tshuva quotes over here from the Get Pashut that in a case in which you have a nice normal Jewish family and Jewish father, Jewish mother, and for some reason they wrote the name of the mother instead of the name of the father. Ima Magari Shlokasa Shem Abdi Brak Shem Ima Makam Dabali Litham Yitzhak Ben Avram Kasi Yitzhak Ben Sora. So that get is going to be kosher because, you know, it's still known that his mother is Sarah, and he'll be able to be identified as such. However, if the name of the mother is a name that could be used both for males and females, it's Simcha. It could be a boy's name or a girl's name. So if the mother's name is Simcha, so you write Yitzchak ben Simcha, so people might think that Simcha is the name of a father, and this guy is not the son of a father's name, he's the son of a mother's name is Simcha. So he's cautious that that get would be problematic. But maybe he's make it more difficult to identify who that is. Okay, so we'll pick up Yitzchak next week.